Then she glared at this young doctor, so ill-informed about Guy Fawkes' failed scheme to blow King James off his throne with barrels of gunpowder in 1605. "You may know a lot about medicine, but you obviously don't know any history," she said. Having told him exactly what was on her mind, she left us again. Then doctors diagnosed a hopeless senility or hardening of the arteries. I thought it was more complicated than that. For 10 years or more, the ferocity with which she had once attacked life had been turning to a rage against the weakness, the boredom, and the absence of love that too much age had brought her. Now, after the last bad fall, she seemed to have broken chains that imprisoned her in a life she had come to hate, and to return to a time inhabited by people who loved her, a time in which she was needed. Gradually, I understood. 3 years earlier, I had gone down from New York to Baltimore, where she lived, for one of my infrequent visits, and afterwards had written her with some banal advice to look for the silver lining, to count her blessings instead of burdening others with her miseries. I suppose what it really amounted to was a threat that if she was not more cheerful during my visits, I would not come to see her very often. Sons are capable of such letters. This one was written out of a childish faith in the eternal strength of parents, a naive belief that age and wear could be overcome by an effort of will, that all she needed was a good pep talk to recharge a flagging spirit.